Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoors, the official podcast of Living the Dream Outdoor Properties. We live by the motto, it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. And we live the outdoor lifestyle every day. Whether you're a landowner or dreaming of joining the ranks of those closest to the earth, we're your brothers and sisters of the outdoors. We hunt, we fish, we're stewards of the land. And our Living the Dream team will show you the way to enjoying the land and all the outdoor pursuits it has to offer. Here's your host, Bill Cooper.
Welcome to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm your host, Bill Cooper, and today I'm delighted to say that I've got a return guest, Shane Motzenbacher. He's a deer outreach specialist with the National Deer Association. So, Shane, how's everything in Southwest Missouri this morning?
It's foggy and rainy here this morning.
Same here, but they can't complain about that moisture. Boy, I've seen places on the Merrimack River this summer and fall I think I've never seen before. You know, I know where all the new rocks are. I've run into most of them.
That's the way it is over here. I'm over on Table Rock Lake, and I've seen parts of the lake that I've never seen before. The water's so low.
Well, I tell you, that's always kind of an educating sort of thing. And I occasionally make, you know, particularly on my favorite fishing stretches, I make some mental notes. You know, see a new rock. When the water comes back up, I can probably catch a good trout or smallmouth there, so it's not all bad. And I got to tell you, I got inspired, you know, with this little bit of snow we had last week. I'm already thinking about food plots, and I ran to the feed store and rounded up some clover seed and some Lespedeza seed, a couple other things. And I'm a big fan of throwing that stuff out on what the old timers call the last snow. I've never really been extremely accurate at hitting that last snow, but it always works. I always get clover and Lespedeza and those good things that come up. It's just fun to get that little bit of a head start, you know. Well, Shane, I'd like for you, if you would, take a few minutes here and explain to our listeners what the National Deer Association is, what they do, how they got started, and how long they've been around.
Well, National Deer Association just came about in 2020, but that's not where we got our actual start. Before we were the National Deer Association, we were the Quality Deer Management Association, and we started all the way back in 1988 was when we were founded by Joe Hamilton over in the Carolinas. And Mr. Joe has been a great advocate for deer and deer hunting for a lot of years. He's just one of those great whitetail minds. If you ever get a chance to talk with him, it's just phenomenal. Just always love to listen to his stories. And he's even got a book out called Fire Pop Stories that's just awesome about all of his adventures and you know, whitetail and just all that kind of knowledge. But Quality Deer Management Association started back in 1988. And then in 2020, our CEO retired, and so we had to make some changes. And we got a new CEO, Nick Benizzato, and he was actually the president and CEO of the National Deer Alliance. And that was kind of one of the brainchilds of the QDMA back in the day. And he said, well, this is a good opportunity for us to merge and, you know, kind of combine powers. And so the National Deer Alliance and the Quality Deer Management Association merged and formed the National Deer Association there in November of 2020. And we've been rocking and rolling ever since, trying to ensure the future of our wild deer and wildlife habitat and hunting heritage. And that's kind of what we've got going on now.
Well, I first, I guess, ran into the National Deer Association through you, and that's been, gosh, a couple of years ago, and I've worked at a couple of functions that you helped put on, and I got to say, I have just been extremely impressed with the goals and the way that you guys go about doing things, and we've had some very successful and unusual programs, I got to say. And they've been very near and dear to my heart, because, and what I'm referring to is, of course, the deer hunts we've done at the Baptist homes across the state of Missouri. And man, oh man, what an inspiring story, because I've been able to witness firsthand the excitement, the expressions on the faces of people in their 70s and 80s and 90s that are getting to deer hunt again. I don't know who come up with that idea, but boy, was it ever a grand idea. And you and your cohorts have done great things with that program.
Yeah, that's part of one of our, our four pillars that we kind of encourage and support, and kind of what we push for. We have these four basic pillars of our organization, and one of those is what we call R3, is recruit, retain, and reactivate hunters. We're trying to get new hunters out there. We're trying to retain the hunters that we have or that are still out there, and then we're also reactivating hunters that maybe used to hunt in the past or haven't hunted in a long time, trying to reignite that fire and that spark to get back out there in the outdoors and do some hunting. And so that's part of our R3 initiative. We also do some education and outreach, and that's one of the main things, one of the main parts of my job is getting to educate people about deer, about habitat, and how you can work together with your neighbors and landowners. We also do conservation efforts, fighting for the threat of deer diseases like CWD and hemorrhagic disease, things like that. But another thing that is a big pillar of ours is policy and advocacy, and we want to have a voice for deer. We have a voice for deer hunters, or just hunters and outdoorsmen alike. We want to have that voice on Capitol Hill and in our state legislatures. So that way, it's actually a voice from the people, from the people that are out there hunting and being in the outdoors and care about deer and the wildlife that are out there. We want to be able to go up to the legislatures who might not have that knowledge, the ones that are making the laws, and we want to influence them and tell them what we're fighting for, and that we're fighting for deer and wildlife habitat. So that's another big of our pillars at the National Deer Association is policy and advocacy and fighting for hunters' rights.
Well, that's quite a building you've got there with four pillars, R3, education, outreach, conservation efforts, and policy and advocacy. Now, you mentioned that you work in the education and outreach section more than anything. So I have to ask you, from a job standpoint, what's the favorite thing you do with your job? That's personal.
I love sharing, the knowledge that I've gained about the outdoors and my experiences in the outdoors, especially with deer and deer hunting. That's personal to me because I grew up hunting. My dad took me out there. I was in the tree stand when I was 3 years old. He'd tie a rope around my arms and hoist me up in a platform stand between three trees. I'd sleep more than anything, but.
Oh, I do that now.
We kind of revert back to that.
Oh, yeah. I'm on my way.
But I just love the outdoors and love nature, love wildlife, and I love sharing that part of those knowledges and experience that I've gained with other people and educating them. And, I went to college for fisheries and wildlife biology and learned all about wildlife. And the great part of it is being able to see that light bulb or that, aha moment when somebody gets it. When they, hear what you're saying and they actually grasp it and they get it and they're like, oh, that makes sense. I love that part of the job. That's probably one of my most favorite things is sharing that knowledge and getting people to be able to relate to the outdoors and get them connected out there.
Well, you betcha, and it's been a pleasure of mine. The few programs I've worked with you and others on, I got to say, man, you've just got a special gift when it comes to presenting that information to people, because your exuberance always shows through. I can even see your smile through the radio waves here, you know, and you put people at ease very, very quickly. And that's so important when you're trying to educate people about the outdoors. Of course, I've been in the outdoor industry about 54 years, started out as a park superintendent, a naturalist type, did lots of outdoor education activities, and I kind of used to argue with a biologist, and I think you'll appreciate this. I listened to some education programs decades ago when biologists were presenting just lots and lots of scientific information, you know, and it seemed like people dropped off the edge pretty quickly, you know. They lost interest. It always argued with them. I come out of the School of Social and Community Services and Park and Recreation School. Now you tell these biologists, you know, some of you guys got the personality of a doorknob, and I said you need to lighten up, you know, because yeah. Big part of outdoor education is simply having fun and, you know, laughing at each other, whatever. And the new biologists of today, I think, are a lot more social people than what they were five decades ago, you know. And maybe social media has done that for us. But in your training coming up through college, did you talk about the social services or, you know, sociology, how you relate and associate to people? Was that a part of your training, or you just come by that naturally?
a little bit in college. I mean, public speaking and sociology, things like that was part of college. But I had a similar background as to what you did. I worked in the park system in Missouri for 10 years, and I was actually a park naturalist and what we call an interpreter.
Yes.
And we learned all about, you know, how to relate to people, how to connect to people, and get the, you know, and there are always people ask, well, you're an interpreter, what language do you interpret? And I said, I always told them, I interpret nature.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And they looked at me just as puzzled as they could be. And I said, I'm going to try to put nature in terms that you can understand. And I want to connect to you and your senses and your experiences and find that common ground that we share. And nature is one way that we could do that. And so that's where a lot of my background come from is being able to talk to park visitors that were out there enjoying nature and trying to help them relate to the world around them and the critters that we have here and what's going on and why they're doing what they're doing and sharing that knowledge, but getting it on their level so that they could connect to the resource. And that's kind of where I came up with that. And I was also the assistant superintendent at the park there for a few years and get a lot more of the people side of things than the critter side of things on that level, but you got to learn how to deal with people and try to manage that too. And so that was kind of where I really got going and got my start. Also worked with you know, with Johnny Morris's Dogwood Canyon Nature Park. I was a biologist there for about 5 years, and he has captive elk and whitetails there, and I took care of those. And then they found out that I had a knowledge of some of the other critters in the Ozarks here, and so they put me to work. And I like to talk to people and share that, and so I did a program about the snakes of the Ozarks for a couple of years to all the park visitors, and just really fell in love with that side of things. And I didn't even know that a park interpreter position even existed at that point. But found out that I loved it and loved sharing that with people. And that's the biggest thing, is trying to relate to them on their terms.
Well, you've certainly established a fabulous background there, and it all makes sense now that you've explained it to me and given your background and referring that and listening to you in programs and how well you present those programs and how well you connect with people. But Shane, to kind of wrap up this segment, talk to me a couple of minutes about your feelings and the importance of, as you're presenting these interpretive programs to people, the importance or what kind of influence you think these programs have on the quality of life for people.
it just helps people to, you know, to realize the world around them and nature as a whole. We're specifically talking about deer and deer hunting, and that is just a way that we can, just kind of an avenue that we use, a tool that we use to get people there, to realize what's around them, and that it's, you know, the world's bigger than just where they're at. And there's opportunities out there that they can do. We try to encourage people to step out of their comfort zone, and, you know, maybe they've lived in a city environment, maybe they've not had the opportunities that, you know, that I've had to, you know, be able to grow up out here and in the woods and enjoy nature like I have my whole life. And I like to open that world up to them and show them, you know, just what's out there. And I think it's really made a big impact on them and opened their eyes to what else is out there. And that's kind of it in a whole, is helping people realize there's more than just where they're at and other opportunities, and getting them excited about things that I've been excited about my whole life, and showing them that there's other opportunities out there.
You betcha. And you're really just planting a seed, and they can take the information that you give them, the activities that you share with them, and then they can take off on their own and expand their horizons a whole lot more. Folks, don't go away. We're going to take a short break here. I'll be right back with Shane Motzenbacher, who's a deer outreach specialist with the National Deer Association. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Drury Outdoors, and you're listening to Living the Dream Outdoors Podcast with Phil Cooper and Hunter Heineman.
Slow down and enjoy the simple things in life. Welcome to Huzal Valley Resort, providing family fun since 1979. They offer floating, and you can choose from canoes, rafts, kayaks, and inner tubes on a beautiful, crystal clear Huzal River. Lodging, let us be your home away from home. Choose from a variety of lodging units while still enjoying the great outdoors. With over 2.5 miles of river camping on the crystal clear Huzal, we're sure you and your family will find the perfect spot to pitch your tent or park your RV. Have fun and let us help you get the most of your stay. Check out our guided trail rides and Karen's Cafe menu. There's something for everyone at Huzal. There's a campground store on site that has everything you need for your trip. Whether you're in need of gear, grub, or something else, chances are they've got it. And their campground has RV sites and primitive sites for all your camping needs. If you like the adventures of camping with a cozy bed at night, we have a variety of different lodging units to choose from. But Huzal Valley, there's always something going on out there. Check them out on Facebook, or if you want to make a reservation, simply call 1-800-367-4516.
Hi, I'm Steve Stoltz with Woodhaven Custom Calls, Mothy Oak Camouflage, and Drury Outdoors. My turkey hunting tip for the week is actually working on soft calling. Incorporate and work on your soft stuff. In my opinion, soft calling is the deal sealer when it comes to working in a turkey. The reason why? Because they know good and well those low, soft sounds are what turkeys do the most. So it's going to sound more real to them when they get in close and they hear the softer calling. Plus, it kind of puts that guesswork into where maybe they think you're a little further away than you really are, bringing him in closer for the shot. And I'm going to give you an example of working on soft calling. A few tips ago, I did some loud calling, some loud yelping. I'm going to do it again. This is my, this is from Woodhaven Custom Calls. This is my modified cutter. It's in our mouth call line. But I'm going to do some yelp, some regular yelping. I'll give you an example about toning it down and learning the softer stuff. This is the louder yelping. There's a time and place for that calling, especially when they're further away. But when they get in closer, tone that calling down like this. you incorporate more soft stuff in your calling, you will have better success in sealing a deal when that gobbler does commit to your location. It will bring them in that last 20, 30, 50 yards, whatever you need to get the kill. That's my turkey tip for the week. I'm Steve Stoltz.
Hey, everybody. This is Alex Rutledge with American Roots Outdoors. Check out my buddy's podcast show, Living the Dream Outdoors with Bill Cooper and Hunter Hindman. You're really going to enjoy this week's show.
Welcome back to Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast. I'm Bill Cooper, and I hope you got to hear that first segment with Shane Motzenbacher, who's a deer outreach specialist with the National Deer Association. And I've known Shane for two or three years, and I tell you, he's a dynamic young man who's got a lot of education and experience behind him and doing a bang-up job with the National Deer Association. And if you're not familiar with the National Deer Association, hey, use that Google tool. Look them up. But Shane, good to have you on the program today. And I know you're quite a hustler. You're a busy guy. And I'm sure you're looking forward to a lot of things coming up in 2024. What have you got planned for this year?
We've got a pretty big slate. We're already getting some things on the books. And, one of the things that I do here in Missouri, we've got two of us deer outreach specialists here in Missouri. And we do all kinds of stuff with wildlife cooperatives or landowner cooperatives. That's getting landowners working together for common deer management goals or wildlife management goals, not just totally deer. But we've got a lot of co-op meetings coming up, and this is the time of year where deer season has come to an end here in the middle of January, and all these different landowners are saying okay, and deer hunters are saying okay, now season's over, let's go back and see what we did right, see what we did wrong, what we can fix and how we can make it better, how we can improve the hunting, how we can improve the habitat on our land. And it's neighbors working together with neighbors, helping each other out like it should be. And so we've got a lot of those co-op meetings coming up where they, what we call a post-season meeting, to where they get together and they talk about the season successes and maybe some failures and some places where they need to improve. But it's always a fun time. Usually the postseason meetings, those are always my favorite, where we get together and maybe do some antler scoring and big buck contest or big doe contest, first deer contest for some of the folks that have never harvested a deer before. We'll put that out there, and there'll be prizes and different things. But that kind of goes off of a little different model of what we used to run. We did a lot of banquets, and we still have a few banquets coming up. I'm down here in the Branson area, and we've got our Ozark Mountain Mark Twain branch. And the branch for the National Deer Association is a lot like the chapters of the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation or the National Wild Turkey Federation. They have different chapters, and they'll have chapter banquets and get-togethers and things. Well, we do that, too. We call ours branches, and that goes back to a little bit of our founder, Joe Hamilton, and how he founded Quality Deer Management Association back in the day, and branches has a little bit different meaning than chapters. But we've got a few of those banquets coming up. We got one February 24th coming up in Ozark, Missouri, and you can look all that up on our website, deerassociation.com. Got one over in Southeast Missouri coming up in February as well. So there's a it's kind of a banquet season after, deer season's over. Everybody gets together and have all kinds of fun times, get together with your neighbors and get things going. But, we've also got quite a few of those mentored hunts that you got to help me on and got to be a part of. We just actually had a meeting with the Baptist Homes folks, and we're expanding that program by another campus this year. So there'll be about four different campuses that we'll be going to, maybe even five, depending on how things kind of play out. But there'll be several different opportunities there for our senior hunters to get out and Some of them even going hunting for the first time. And that goes back to that R3 initiative that we talked about earlier. And we've got all those planned out. And we're going to be doing crossbow hunts. We're going to be doing some rifle hunts and some muzzleloader hunts. So they're getting to use a lot of the different weapon types and for the different seasons that we have here in Missouri. And, you know, that's something we do across the country, not just in Missouri, but we have these mentored hunts that we call Field to Fork. And it actually takes a new hunter, someone who's not familiar with hunting, or maybe they have just never had the opportunity. Maybe they've always wondered about it and wanted to get into hunting, but just didn't have the means to do so or know how. And that's where we come in. And so we try to facilitate that and do these Field to Fork programs all across the country. We actually just hired a new Field to Fork coordinator for the state of Wisconsin. And so he is rocking and rolling up there in Wisconsin with some of these mentored deer hunts that we call Field to Forks, and teaching new hunters how to hunt, about deer biology, and getting them out there at the range, getting them firearms handling, safety and training, and then giving them an opportunity to go out and try and harvest their first deer. And then once they do harvest the deer, then they take them through and show them how to process that deer and give them some awesome venison recipes to try out and take home with them. So that's all. That's another one of my favorite parts of the job is getting to connect with those new hunters and teach them all about deer and getting to eat the venison that's so delicious.
I've experienced that too. You're not a bad cook.
I try.
What a great time, man. Lots of exciting programs going on here. And back up the list there, you mentioned a big buck contest, a lot of those going around the country. And I've never really gotten involved in those, but at the little country Baptist church I go to, we have a young minister, big old boy, who's quite an outdoorsman, and he wanted to have a big buck contest at church this year, and some guys turned in some pretty good bucks, you know, took a photograph and that sort of thing. Well, at a wild game dinner, he's announcing, I think, who the winner is, but he announced that in a church again a week or so ago. Hey, you guys, get your last photos in, you know, we're about to close this down. And of course, I discovered, Shane, and I think I was one of three people in the whole state of Missouri that didn't kill a deer this season. So I asked her minister, I spoke up and said, well, are road kills legal in this contest? he didn't laugh too much. So I guess I'm out.
Well, we've done a big buck contest, and I got a chance this last summer to become an official scorer for Boone and Crockett and Pope and Young. And so I'm putting those skills to the test now and getting to score for a lot of these different contests, and that's been fun. But I think I like the big doe contest just as much as I like the big buck contest. And getting these guys going out there trying to kill the heaviest doe that they can find, and always love that. Just it gives them another reason to get together and share that.
Absolutely, deer hunters do love to get together, don't they?
They do. We've got a lot of good things going with new positions with NDA. We hired a field support coordinator for Pennsylvania a couple of years ago. So now we have two of those across the country, besides us two guys over here in Missouri that do that. But kind of coming down the pipeline here, we've got a new opportunity with the state of Arkansas. And they're actually posted right now. There's going to be five new positions that are deer management assistance program biologists.
Wow.
For the state of Arkansas. And so that's a new thing that just happened. And we're excited to partner with Arkansas Game and Fish Commission on that and have these new DMAP biologists come out and help out the folks in Arkansas managing the deer herds. So if you're in Arkansas and you're interested in joining the NDA team and Arkansas Game and Fish Commission and helping out the deer population there, that might be the job for you. So that's some exciting stuff coming down the pipe on our end. We're really excited about.
Well, I would think that, hey, that'd be a great position to pick up, particularly as a younger person in the outdoor industry, because National Deer Association has made a very good name for themselves in a relatively short period of time. So I think you all would be a great outfit to work with. And Shane, once again, man, I appreciate all that you've done for the National Deer Association. And I've watched it after I've become acquainted with you and even some of these programs. And I think in particular Mentored Hunts, because that's what I know most about. But it's been amazing to meet the number of people and companies that have jumped on board with these Mentored Hunts. You've had a lot of equipment donated, isn't that correct?
Yeah, we've had some different partnerships and sponsorships with a lot of great, you know, companies in the outdoors, and the list just keeps getting longer and longer, and they start hearing about, you know, some of the successes that we're having with these field to fork programs, and they want to jump on board. And I know that I can speak for the guys over there at Baptist Homes that as soon as the word got out of what they were doing and what we were trying to accomplish and getting hunters out there afield, they wanted to be a part. And so they were able to get grants from like NRA and different ones to where they could purchase some equipment. Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, they've donated all kinds of stuff for these events. Bog, Schrade, First Light, there's just Vortex, the list goes on and on of different wow. companies that we've been working with that have wanted to be a part of it and wanted to get new hunters out there.
Well, it certainly worked, and I think you've been you don't pat yourself on the back very much, but I'll do that for you. I think you've played a big role in all of this, at least in the state of Missouri. And we're also grateful for what you and the National Deer Association has done for so many people. And man, that's from, hey, almost from the cradle to the grave anymore. So many programs going on. But Shane, as we wrap up the program here, tell people how they can get a hold of the National Deer Association and maybe even get a hold of you if they need to talk to you about some deer management program or whatever in the state of Missouri.
Yep, our website is a great resource, and I've just tapped the surface, you know, the tip of the iceberg, so to speak, of all the different content and things that we have going on that's deer and hunting related on our website. And that's deerassociation.com. You can go on there and look up wildlife cooperatives. You'll have my contact information on there under the staff section. Of course, I spell my name funny. It's Shane at deerassociation.com if you want to email me and get a hold of me. But Shane is Cheyne, Shane at deerassociation.com. You guys can reach out any kind of deer questions, habitat questions. I'd be happy to talk with you or email back and forth. I used to always joke, say, however you got to get a hold of me, if you can find a passenger pigeon and send a note to me, I'll try to get back with you. That's where you can go. That's our resource, and it is a good one. One thing before we do wrap up here, Bill, I do have to brag on some of my counterparts. My supervisor, Matt Ross, has been heavily involved in a project that we've got going on called the Public Land Initiative. Uh-huh. And it's something that we're excited about here at NDA. And in 2021, we started this landscape level access to public lands across the country.
Awesome.
And we really wanted to get involved with some of those bigger landscapes, scale type things. Our goal is to impact 1 million acres by wow. 2026.
That's quite a goal.
We are on our way there. Since 2021, we've had almost 750,000 acres already impacted on our public lands.
Wow.
Across 18 different states. And Missouri is one of those. Proud to say that we're doing all kinds of stuff, not just helping private landowners, because, you know, that's where my job lies, is working with private landowners. But we want to be able to help out public lands as well. And this public lands initiative is a big thing that we've been doing. It's also been funded and helped in funding by the Bass Pro and Cabela's Outdoor Fund. And that's been a big, huge help to get this thing going, get the wheels turning on it. But such an awesome, awesome deal. But if you guys want to learn more about that, check it out on our website. The Public Lands Initiative is just an awesome thing that we're excited about.
Wow, I would say so. That's quite an undertaking. And again, another pat on your back. Well, Shane, I appreciate you so much being on the program and bringing us up to date on what's going on with the National Deer Association. And folks, I hope you realize that Shane Motzenbacher and myself, Bill Cooper, we're living our outdoor dreams, and we encourage you to get outdoors and enjoy your outdoor dreams.
Captain Brian Wilson runs one of the tightest bow fishing operations in the business. Stainwater Bow Fishing operates out of Jerome, Missouri, and the beautiful Missouri Ozarks. They cover most Ozark streams and lakes. You haven't lived until you've searched Ozark waters during the night with Stainwater Bow Fishing while looking for giant gar, carp, and buffalo. Captain Wilson also runs a second boat on Taneycomo Lake. Call today to book a trip with Stainwater Bow Fishing at 573-263-8016. Again, that's 573-263-8016. Be sure and shoot straight.
The Living the Dream Outdoors podcast is brought to you by Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, The Fly Rod Journals, SmokerBuilder.com, Cowtown USA, Westover Farms, Scenic Rivers Taxidermy, Stained Water Bow Fishing, Scenic Rivers Guide Service and Tours, Huzzah Valley Resort, Pico Lures, Devil's Backbone Outfitters, The Fallen Outdoors, Ledco Sinkers and Lure Company, Turnbow Outdoors, J&J Charters, Kaufman Cove, Alaska, Big Ed's Guide Service, Bean Creek Game Calls, Misty Mountain Guide Service, ASO Guides and Outfitters with Ryan Walker, On the Hook TV, Expedition Trailers, The Rambling Angler, Spare Rib Inn in Steelville, Missouri, and Rich's Famous Burgers.
Land ownership is the American dream. Land is the basis of all life. Our wise use of this most precious of resources ensures the survival and growth of free institutions and our American way of life. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we value the traditions and freedoms that land provides us. Every day we seek the solace of a mountain sunrise over traffic jams and smog, the calming silence of a bubbling stream over the sirens of the city, and the quiet of the countryside over the hustle and bustle of the world. We hunt, we fish, we farm. We live off the land. It's our mission to help our clients live out their dreams on the land as we do. At Living the Dream Outdoor Properties, we believe that it's not just land, it's a lifestyle. Join us 5 days a week on Living the Dream Outdoor Podcast as the Living the Dream Outdoor Dream Team explores the most desired outdoor properties in the Midwest and whisks you away to incredible hunting, fishing, and outdoor recreation opportunities. Host Bill Cooper, an inductee of the National Freshwater Fishing Hall of Fame, will be joined by members of the Living the Dream Outdoors team each week as they tell tall tales, unveil tips and tactics, and rub elbows with some of the biggest names in the outdoor world. You'll also find the Living the Dream Outdoors podcast on your favorite social media platforms, including Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok.